Welcome to the JRD Hogcast, your Razorback podcast for fans by fans. Here's your host, Dylan Lee, joined, as always, with his co-host, Jordan Russell, and their producer, Luke Griggs.
Well, we might have a quarterback.
I think we have a quarterback.
Unfortunately,
like,
it took.
I don't like that you said might.
unfortunately took a game and a half to figure it out.
It's obvious, right?
It should be.
Like it's obvious. There's no controversy anymore. There's no, well, we're just figuring out who to put in. That's best. That's done, right?
Correct. 200 yards and a half should solidify that against an SEC team. But it's also hard to beat an SEC team when you only can play a half.
What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Give me the Dylan insight.
On what?
The quarterback. Is it done?
Monday, Chad Morris has announced Nick Starkle as the starting quarterback against Colorado State.
So by the time half of our audience or more hears this, we will have a starting quarterback, number 17, by next Saturday.
Yes. Who we said in March should start, even though he wasn't on campus.
Right. Man, that was they kept showing highlights of Hicks at SMU, and you can see in those highlights how much more comfortable he was with those defenses compared to what he's looking at here.
Did he look comfortable against Portland State?
No, he didn't look comfortable against Portland State, but you could put on the fact that that was his first start at a big, you know, SEC school. I mean, if we're looking for excuses.
He's played a lot of football. I mean, being a fifth-year senior, grad transfer, all that good stuff, a lot of football. He really shouldn't be fazed by that kind of stuff.
We're all human. I'm just trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. But regardless,
he should also be used to riding some bench too, which it didn't look like he was used to that either. He got sat down last year at SMU when Chad Morris wasn't there.
Right. Hence the transfer.
Yeah, I can't necessarily picture his face back then. I did watch those games, but I definitely saw it against Ole Miss, and that's one of those where you kind of just bite your tongue, bite your lip, whatever you got to do, grab the headset, grab the clipboard, and help out your team.
Right.
If you're a team player. And I assume he is. I'm just, you know, the camera was right on him, of course, as soon as that happened. So
It's tough, but I want to make sure people understand we're not dogging him, but we are, as the intro says, a podcast for fans by fans. This is our fan reaction. We need Starkle to go. Saw a lot of stuff on Twitter about KJ Jefferson and John Stephen Jones. I don't huge KJ fan here, you know, breaking news, but we need Starkle in the game. The offense moved better, and they said it during the broadcast too, like, well, he doesn't get the guy set as much, and the offense doesn't flow as fluently with him, but he needs to be the guy. Like, those things, what? How can you say those things when, like you said, he put 200 up and a half? The very first throw he did, he was standing comfortably in the pocket and let the play develop.
Yeah, straight out route, right?
Straight out route. That's what it was. Beautifully thrown. And I'm not saying this dude's a Heisman candidate or nothing.
It just leaves his hand so much better than it does Ben Hicks.
Better, faster, more confidently. I mean, you can see it. I mean, to be fair, he came in a pretty crappy situation, and few plays here and there didn't happen, and we win the ball game.
Yep. I got a little kick out of the broadcast when they said that he was a step behind or something along those lines.
That's what I'm talking about, yeah.
Yeah, a step behind Ben Hicks, and it's like, in terms of arm talent and, you know, mechanics and all that kind of stuff, definitely not. He's right there.
Wrong.
Maybe in the playbook, and you just kind of misspoke, and that's what I'm going to take it for because you're a professional, right? So you didn't misspeak? That doesn't happen.
Never. Never happens, especially on live TV.
Yeah, but
a lot of people ripping on the wild hog or whatever. So what's your thoughts on that?
Too much of it. I would definitely say that there was too much of it. When it's busted, it's busted. But when that's happening, they want to talk about the slowness on the broadcast or his depth in the broadcast being too far back and all that kind of stuff. But we're also not going to talk about the blocking. Guys not turning upfield when they're supposed to be blocking on jet, jet actions. Line still not getting to the next level. And we also have snaps that aren't getting to them. If you're going to run wild hog, wild cat, wild bulldog, whatever you want to call it, the snaps, your running back cannot be adjusting for it because it's already something that's foreign to him. And that's probably, like, the broadcast probably wants to sit there and say, like, oh, this is something we installed for, you know, a week and it happened as soon as we were done with Portland State. Absolutely false. This has been installed at least a month and a half, which is makes it even worse. And while I'm on it, because we had media folks that were upset with not getting a lot of access on the practices and all this stuff.
That would be why.
That would be why. Because as soon as you see that, I had to kind of censor myself for a little bit, sorry. As soon as the media would see that, they would be hitting up on Twitter and be like, oh, we saw Boyd taking direct snaps in practice. And guess who's going to see that? Everybody.
Every other opponent we play.
So at least let it, you know, happen in a game. But I know I'm 100% sure if the media saw that during practice, it would be blowing up and it'd be
somebody would have said something.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe not necessarily intentionally to what it would have, you know, we're obviously talking hypothetical here, but what it would have turned into wouldn't have been their intentions, but they don't understand that.
Right.
Like, this is a chess match, football is.
And then, so, while I'm on it, because we'll just go right into it. So, at the press conference right after the fact, I'm just going to key in on one person, and he's a professional, so I'll also actually say his name, Bob Holt with the Democrat Gazette, was sitting right there front and center of Chad Morris and would not let it go, the quarterback situation. Chad answered it. He said, you know, not the time or place. Basically, like, let's move on. We'll go look at the tape, blah, blah, blah. Gave him a coach answer, which basically led into, hey, I'll tell you on Monday because that's what's going to happen.
Right.
So Bob would not let up. Just kept mentioning quarterback and quarterback play and who you can do, that whole, you know, kind of halfway around the bush with it. It was getting so annoying. And because that clip gets out, now the Twitter tough guys are blowing up Chad Morris, being like, oh, but you'll announce that Ben Hicks is going to start for the Ole Miss game after Portland State. Yeah, but we're not talking about benching a guy. If you're going to roll with the same guy, it's, you know, very easy to say in a press conference after a game, yep, Ben Hicks still going to roll. Like, that's perfectly fine, but he's got to have that conversation with those guys first.
He's not going to bench him on live TV.
Not on press. I mean, Ben Hicks didn't. I mean, we're not sitting here talking to Cole Kelly performance. It just wasn't the same offense.
Yeah, again, it's like we said last Sunday, it's not he's not playing bad. He's just not moving the offense. It's just not working.
He's timid. It just seems like some timid
play. You can see it on his throws. His throws, he's not following through on his throws. He's keyed in on one guy and one guy only. If that's not there, he's running out of bounds or throwing it away. He's just not – we need this offense. And I will say I was actually, after this loss, feeling pretty good about everything, to be honest with you, with the Starkle. Because you finally got a glimpse of the left lane hammer down. It wasn't full tilt boogie, but it was moving. It was flowing. The snaps were happening within, I'd say they probably averaged around 15 seconds or so instead of the full play clock, you know, compared to the last year in one game. So I didn't hate it.
Right. And at the end of the Colorado State game, which is the next one up, there can't be any changes barring injury. Like, you have to have a depth chart solid out just so that you can have the continuity going, and this is where it needs to be. Now, if it's a matter of protections and that all that kind of nature, That's where Ben Higgs should step in. He's probably going to be a great guy to have holding the clipboard.
Right.
He should step up in that role. And if it's a matter of that, like, go talk to Brandon Allen in the pros right now. He's making money holding clipboards and being, you know, getting props for it. Sean McVay.
Right.
And Jacksonville staff, they both have said he's a great guy to, you know, break down and be able to hold the clipboard. So,
well, another example is today I got to see it with the Cowboys. Kellen Moore was not a good quarterback in the pros.
Mm-hmm.
And I ripped on the Kellen Moore offensive coordinator hire. But by God, we had an offense day for the Cowboys. And it's the same way. If you put your ego aside,
Kellen Moore was a little bit better of a college quarterback, though. So
he was. Yeah, but same thing, though. Like, not us. I'm sure that Hicks, based off of all the years he's had in a Chad Morris offense, he probably is a badass film room guy. He can probably tell you exactly what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and it's just different when it comes to game time.
Right.
And, you know, like you're saying, if he can put his ego down, step aside, and just help this team get better, that is all we're asking for.
Right. And if coaching's in his future, I think Chad needs to have that discussion, like, hey, next year we got a GA spot for you on the staff if you want it, something along those lines. But that's we're still doing some recap here. And going back to Ben Higgs, when I did my breakdown with him however many episodes ago, the two things that stepped out was he would cut the field in half, one or two reads max, and then the other thing was he couldn't make intermediate throws.
Mm-hmm.
So anything pretty much outside that 15-yard range, and that's showing through. I mean,
right. We got to see our freshmen, our wideouts. They kept talking about with Hicks on the field, like, we need more help outside. You know, we need to keep recruiting, which obviously that's kind of a dumb, like, yeah, of course we need to keep recruiting. But as we've said, me and you have said this a million times throughout our knowing each other, you can have Hall of Fame wide receivers outside of your quarterback, but if your quarterback can't get them the ball, guess what? They're not Hall of Fame receivers.
Yep.
So, yeah, we can bring in all the talent in the world outside, but if we don't have a quarterback, which the first half we didn't, it doesn't matter. But then Starkle comes in. Guess what? Trey Knox, his name got called a few different times.
Yep.
6 catches, 88 yards. Should have been a touchdown. We won't talk about that. But
right,
he finally got the okay, whatever. He finally got to showcase his skills, though.
I know it sucks, but stopped it right before the snap, and he was covered up, and that's one of those things.
Yeah, rules and
That's one of those things that you clean up, and you get help with either from Ben Higgs.
Here we are, in full circle.
Chad Moore should maybe point that out, but also Nick Starkle should see that pre-snap as well. So
there's a lot of Craddock hate on Twitter. Is it warranted?
I don't think so. They see his system not working, and I feel like it's sitting on the Wild Hog, and they're just taking that and running with it. But the Wild Hog just wasn't executed like it should have been because we don't have
the dudes. It was not crisp.
Like, yeah. If you're going to have a Wild Hog, you're going to have the dudes. I do think that maybe Boyd is the wrong guy for the Wild Hog. You're not
almost
gonna have
Warren, right?
Warren?
When you almost Warren Hayden taking
Warren
the snap
Hayden,
right there?
TJ when we Hayman's get him back.
When he comes back, yeah.
You got to also have the threat. That's what made it awesome with Darren McFadden. You
had the throw-in threat?
No, you could have three guys out there. Multiple times we would have Felix Jones coming around in the jet sweep. We also had Peyton Hillis as a lead. And then you had Darren McFadden Drake snap, and he would pass out of it. And we weren't scared to throw it to a quarterback.
Right. Well, we had a quarterback to throw it to, though. Yeah.
So you have to have the threats of all the options out of there. But you also have to have your line getting to the next level if it's going to be a power. And there was a few times where the jet, or if there wasn't that much motion, for whatever reason, if it was a right action or something along those lines, it would push outside of it and guys weren't getting on anybody. Like, if you're a blocker, especially on a design like that, and you're not touching anybody through the play, something's wrong.
I definitely don't think we have the offensive line in particular to not have motion out of that, though.
Nope.
And we did that, I think, twice. Was that right?
Like, with actual motion?
Without
motion. Yeah, there was a few that we just kind of stand still.
One of them, he got blown up. I understand the concept of wanting Boyd taking the snap for the power, though, you know, but if you're, you know, most of those were going outside, they were following the stretch and everything. So you kind of want speed with speed there. And not that Boyd's not fast, but he's not as fast as Hayden or Hammonds or, you know, Warren or anything.
It's also
like that,
a great time to give a change of pace. That's an idea behind that. That's why it worked.
Well, everybody's complaining about the lack of offensive creativeness, and then we get creative, and now everybody wants the freaking offensive coordinator fired.
I saw tons of keep it simple, stupid. Like, I was like, seriously? You just got upset? We heard vanilla a million times last week, and now they bring something out of the playbook, and you're whining about it.
Yeah, there's no pleasing. And there was I was reading a lot of Twitter.
Yeah, I'm done. And Colorado State, no matter what happens, I did it through the game, and then after the game, I'm going to give myself a 24-hour rule on Saturday as soon as kickoff happens, because I'll watch the stuff beforehand. But as soon as kickoff, I'm not doing Twitter. I can't.
So a lot of people were talking about the fact that, you know, there might have been some inadvertent shots at our show here because we have been guilty of calling out fans, you know. But, you know, I understand if you're a donor or if you're a season ticket holder. I understand the money that you put into it. I understand the years and years of frustration while still putting the money into it. But that doesn't give you a pass for not being an intelligent fan. Like, just because you're throwing money at the program doesn't mean you're an intelligent fan.
It also doesn't give you the right to act like a cancer and show your ass on Twitter and call out people.
Right, exactly.
If you go back and even in the press, Danny West, there you go, came to my head. Danny West tagging people, Dalton Wagner, in post. You're scum.
With calling them out?
Yeah, after the, the false start
the
sack give up. So, yeah. And then, oh, man. See, this is why I stay off of Twitter, though, because Dalton was getting a lot of hate because of those two plays right back-to-back. He had a rough series there. That's fine. It happens.
Mm-hmm.
Growing pains. You're going to hear this. Chad Moore's talked about it. Same with the trick.
There are 53.
What if I told you that the trick play where Mike Woods received it and then kind of ran back or whatever, Chad Morris came out and said that was actually supposed to go to the right, not the left. That's on, you know, pretty much on Starkle, which is fine. You look at it. The Patriots just ran that with Edelman. Same setup, man. Same setup. So, in that the whole same setup, the pass would be in Edelman on the right, which they did. And then they had, I think, who's their running back? They had a running back out wide.
White.
Yeah, I think it was White. And then they had a tight end, which would have been O'Grady. And that's why O'Grady was looking right. That was the two looks that they had out of that. And the Patriots just ran it on Sunday Night Football right before we were recording. So,
point being, we're getting creative. We're pulling stuff out. Things are going to happen.
Well,
where
did Philly Special come from? I hate the name, and that's, I'm saying Philly Special because people recognize it as that, but
Chad Morris.
Mainstream wise, you know, they did the little story, came out of high school or whatever, but you go back a few years and you watch some Clemson tape, that's where it really got introduced inside the Power Five and the big football conferences or levels.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets bring into the NFL. You have to give this guy time. You can't sit here and appreciate the players. You can't appreciate Trey Knox, Mike Woods, and even Starkle now, and all the guys that he's brought in, and then hate on him because he's part of that. So if you're okay with the players that he's brought in so far, then you can't hate on the guy just because he's at, you know, no SEC wins right now in 14 games.
But again, I left that game feeling good.
Yeah.
That's probably one of the very few and the most, especially most recent memory, where we lost and I'm like, we're doing something here.
Well, because you were really worried after week one, but you saw improvement across the week two, which is
well,
the old cliche that you...
I wasn't really worried about week one. We talked about that. We knew, not to try to sound like we're know-it-alls, we knew what was happening week one. It was super vanilla, I'll give you that. But I left that game like, ah, crap, here we go. But there was, what we said last show, or you said last show, biggest improvements is in between week one and two. Huge improvements. Mm-hmm. And you got to understand, week one and week two, fortunately, unfortunately, however you want to look at it, was FCS to freaking SEC play.
Right.
So we didn't get, unfortunately, we did not, you know, honestly, if we played Colorado State this week rather than Ole Miss, we might have seen a lot of the same from last week. I mean, you have to, like you said, you have to be patient with this guy. You cannot give up on this guy. You need to stay the hell off of Twitter, call him for everybody's head, and give this guy will need no less, talking about Morris, will need no less than 4 years to bring in what he wants to bring in.
He came
if you
in,
don't like it, you need to chill out and watch Bama or something for a little while because it's going to be a lot of the same stuff.
He came in with 5 offensive linemen on scholarship.
5. Guess how many linemen you need to have a line? 5.
Yeah.
You have to understand what he took over. And it's not all like hating on Bielema. I mean, it's a completely different offense. Different offense.
I mean, in all reality, though, all, you know, with the exception of Cunningham, I'm pretty sure, the line is a Bielema line. Those are all guys that were part of Bielema's regime. So, Elton Wagner was a freshman that was brought in. I think that was part of his last recruiting class and maybe the little halfway into Chad Morris or whatever, but yeah, so give this man some time. I hope people jumped on to Twitter this morning, looked at some mentions, looked it back, and I sure hope it was more alcohol influenced and that wasn't in a straight mind of some of these folks and they hit that delete button or at least regretted what they said. Maybe we get a half-ass apology like we did last week when we were calling out people.
I doubt it.
It's honestly not too good for me, and that's why I'm going to do the 24-hour rule.
You need to. I guess technically I did, but defensively, we got to get that contain down a little bit better.
The angles, the angles aren't there, man.
We're getting chewed up. Not
over pursuing.
Is his name Corral or Coral? Corral.
Oh, whatever.
Whatever.
Ole Miss QB, Matt Corral.
Yeah, that
Corral.
Guy.
There you go.
Is it? Yeah. He made some plays. He made some good plays, but he didn't. He didn't scorch us. You know, it was a lot of
how much stuff
extending
was to,
the plays.
How much stuff was to the right? If you did a rushing chart, what would you think their run right ratio would be in percentages?
Plus 50.
Oh, yeah. Like, just under 80%.
And that's Dorian, right?
Hmm?
Wasn't that hit in his strong side?
Depending on the shift, yeah.
Yeah. That was a big letdown, too.
But, I mean, Gabe Richardson stepping up, he was making some good plays out there. Poole is still doing the stuff. He's just running on instincts and being around the ball.
Right.
And then we got to talk Curl, man. The guy's a gamer.
Girl.
The level that he's going at, and he's just more natural at safety. He's a ball hawk, and
I think he does better at safety because he's kind of like the play gets to develop a little bit rather than corner. You know, you're on a guy, and you kind of wish that would have been there. He would have been there the whole time, really. Instead of the little experiment. But overall, I actually, believe it or not, I think I give the nod to the offense this week.
even second half offense?
Second half offense, yeah.
Team in general, though, it's tough to play defense when you're on the field. Like, right off the top of my head, I don't know what time of possession was or anything like that. They might have, I would assume Ole Miss had it longer than us because that's just what it felt like. So, but it's hard. It's hard to, they were getting gassed and everything like that because even after the curl, you know, strip, score.
They had it almost exactly 5 minutes longer. Okay.
So, after that, you're like, oh, that's an awesome play. And then you're like, our defense got to go.
Got to get right back on defense.
Get right back out after, what was it, 60-plus yard return, so.
Yeah, something like that. It was good to see a 69. And the thing about that, though, is the last 2 years, for sure, you can honestly say that you do see our defensive guys, when they do get an opportunity to kind of all fall towards the ball, they are all ripping and punching and scratching and clawing. And I think that that's going to be something we get to look forward to again in another year or two and actually see. I think we might screw around and be a league leader in turnovers forced on the defensive side because that stuff, as soon as Chavis got here, it was obvious, you know, and it's exciting to see. I still think we have an opportunity to go bowling. I still think there's some wins out there for us to grab. We have three more non-cons that are very winnable games. And, you know, Kentucky just lost their quarterback.
I was going to say, Kentucky just got a little easier maybe.
I mean, Ole Miss, they could have somebody behind him that's even better. You don't know, but
Ole Miss, Kentucky, those were definitely ones, especially being away. That was kind of a split, and you want to get one of those.
You got to get one of those if you want to be in contention. But if we can get, I mean, I was kind of hanging our hat on Ole Miss, but I mean, they won, but it wasn't. I wasn't heartbroken about it. I wasn't mad. There were obviously a couple things during the game. I'm like, son of a bitch. But, you know, I wasn't furious. There was some good plays, good things that we saw. I mean, really, it didn't feel like a 14-point loss in the grand scheme of things, where last week it didn't feel like a 7-point win, you know. So, I don't hate it. I'm not upset. I'm still optimistic. I still, like I said, still think we can go bowling. I will say, if we don't have Starkle starting next Saturday, though, I will not be as kind on this show next Sunday.
Yeah, I might – I don't know. I might have to extend my Twitter ban if it continues, if he isn't announced on Monday, because the Chad Morris hate and the cancer fans are just going to come out the woodwork.
I still say – this, I'm trying not to be so hypothetical here, but, you know, it's sports and that's just part of it, part of the nature of the beast. But if he starts Hicks next week, I will start getting really frustrated, really frustrated. But I will still support it. I will still trust Morris because we do have a lot of things to look forward to. Young guys coming up. We still have a year with Starkle. It's hard to balance a year that you know is going to be, you know, it's going to be better than last year, I think, in win totals, regardless of what happens. But there's still things he's working on.
Yep, absolutely. So, I think I'm not faltering on my trophy predictions that I've had. I think we will mess around and get a game we're not supposed to, and that'll probably be Texas A&M. Especially if Starkle's there. He's going to be playing some juiced-up ball. Guarantee yep. it.
Yep.
And weird shot at the end of the game by the announcer when they're about to interview Matt Corral. And they're like, he might not have Justin Bieber under his pads. It's like...
Yeah, that... whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge Jordan Rodgers fan. I know Jordan Rodgers isn't...
It wasn't Rodgers that did it. It was the other guy.
No, it wasn't him that said it, but Rodgers sometimes, I think, maybe tries to be a little too analytical. Yeah, he is. It's nice hair, though. I mean, if you got it, work it, right?
I thought it was so nice that it's always coiffed and all fancy-dancy, and then he just slaps a headset over it.
He's got to get that poof on the front side just right, though,
before the headset pushes it a little. So you got that big poof, and then you smash the headset down, so then you just have a big bump on the top of your head. Yeah. So, anyway, we're talking about sports announcers' hairs. Moving on.
Well, that tells you how it went Saturday. But hey, let's get a grade, overall grade from Dylan Lee.
Oh man,
the host of the JRD Hogcast. Total team grade.
Well, C's get degrees.
Yeah.
Sitting right at a C, so.
That's about where I'd put it. I mean, progression.
I guess
there was progression.
I guess some folks might be like, well, C's would also imply that you were close to a win and all that kind of stuff, and I think we were.
I think we were.
We had some stuff, and it's way too early to start. If you want to at some people, at the SEC officiating. I mean, they made their own Twitter.
They have a Twitter.
They straight up asked for it. So
yes, they did.
Those are ones I don't feel bad for.
But we made a conscious effort before this show.
I can't
do it
yet.
We're not doing that yet. We're not doing it yet.
I can just keep it in the back of my mind. And just
let's be honest. We still got to play Bama this year.
Oh, so
we're going to get wrecked there.
Yeah, if you think the Ole Miss game was wait until we get the Tuscaloosa Zebras.
Yeah, exactly.
But what about I don't want to call out guys because that's definitely not what we're about. But as fans, I think, and especially because we break it down. I try to break down the game and kind of give folks a different point of view because I believe myself watches it a little different than most people do. What are some guys that you might have been disappointed in? Again, we're not going to trash them, but it's going to come across like that. There was just a few, well, not a few, but there was definitely one guy in particular.
I saw, this is going to suck.
I know there's not a nice way to do it, but, you know.
I saw Scooter
Ooh.
Out of position more times than I would like to admit.
Okay.
Particularly on the sweeps that kept going to the right. And he, I mean, we don't 100% know what their assignments are, but, you know, the idea is to keep him towards the sideline. Sideline's an extra defender.
Mm-hmm.
And his angles weren't working. He pulled up, straight up pulled up. I don't know if he thought – I don't know.
He was – I feel like he wasn't 100%. Heat was maybe getting to people. It was definitely hot, and we kept hearing about it in the broadcast quite a bit. But one guy that really stuck out to me, and he is a baller. I've seen, you know, they've talked very highly through the spring ball, and he had a decent game against Portland State, was Greg Brooks, number 9, was a guy that I either kind of a lot of the stuff you said when it was going his way, it was over pursuit, missed tackles, just bad angles, out of position, flat-footed. They were going after him.
Yeah, and he's young. He did have one really good defense in the end zone. I remember that one in the corner. That was really good. But I'm kind of going opposite of what you said, though. But Agim, his stat line wasn't huge.
That's going to be the year for him, though.
Yeah, like, that's what he's going to get attention. Drafted for things that he didn't do on paper.
Yep.
That he did in the game, and I saw him one time get triple teamed. He had the center and the guard on him, and then the running back, I guess, was like, "I'm going to get in there too," and came down. But that sucker still pushed them out 2 yards off the line or so, three people, and he misdirected a couple runs when he didn't make any kind of contact. I mean that. I'm loving that because we've been missing that from him. You know, he came in highly touted, and not that he's been terrible,
there was a reason that they were working the right side and the edge and the outside runs because that was what was there.
Right.
Especially on those spell plays where we had to have Scooter out and we didn't quite have the presence on the edge that we should,
you got to contain that edge.
The Gerald miss was pretty crucial. First game, he was gone. But
right.
Agim eats up so much in the middle. And if you have to double, or like you're saying, even triple, the guy behind him is going to be Dijon and Scooter coming at you if he's got a free path. So, like, that's why there shouldn't be too many people unless – they got some Haas that want to play in between the tackles. Because Agheem won't get the love, especially from the fans or whatnot. There's going to be a few where he's going to get held the crap out of that doesn't get called. We're going to have
like
that.
The hog or something?
Yeah, we're probably going to have that 3 or 4 times through the year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he does, though. Like, he's got to keep a cool head because can't get chippy and that kind of stuff. Just he's crucial right now. It just won't show up on the stat line right now.
And we also forgot to mention last show that O'Grady was back. We basically quit recording. We're like, oh, crap.
As soon as we were done, it's like, did we not want to mention O'Grady? Like, oh.
But obviously his presence was felt. Is there a word on Harrell?
I mean, what?
Did he play? He
probably just needs a little rest. Let's just say that.
A little rest.
He had a rough go. He'll get his, but
get re.
I think there's a big gap, and if O'Grady and Gunter can go, you gotta let them go. I mean, there's a big gap between there.
I don't see a problem with putting Harrell out wide and letting him do some things either, though.
Right, yeah.
I mean, he's valuable. A lot of people hating on him last week because one catch he didn't make where he got lit up. But he's valuable. He can be used
in different ways. The tight end a lot doing different stuff, and it's kind of surprising because it's not something you see too much in the game. But it might be him getting adjusted to being a tight end. Besides, putting the weight on and, you know, in line, having, you know, put your hand in the dirt and be blocking is completely different than being edge blocking while you're out there.
There's a big difference between blocking 170-pound guys and 300-pound guys for sure. Absolutely. Yeah, I was just curious, though. You know, he got banged up a little bit last week, too. Right. So I just expected to see him at least as a placeholder. You know, he wouldn't be bad in that wild hog. Outside blocking, you know, when you're on a stretch and stuff.
I'd have him as a lead guy, but also Hayden Johnson, that's another guy that he's kind of like a blue-collar worker, you know, and he's one of those that, you know, wild hog, lead block kind of feel that Peyton Hillis role, if we're going back to that comparison, because that's a
everything
soft spot.
Screams that comparison right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as you have a especially when you have a 5 taking the direct snap,
right.
It's just going to happen.
Arkansas is back on the front. Yeah, it's there.
Yeah. Definitely they're going to do something else to honor him probably. I mean, we've got the bat that got that Wood award and all that kind of thing, player of the game thing. I feel like there's still one thing probably working from the university to honor Darren McFadden, but maybe they're holding off on that. But because they have been pushing it, like, you know, the tradition, DMAC era, and all this kind of stuff. It's like, you're going to finish this off with something. I don't know what it'd be because we apparently don't retire numbers around here. So
we're bringing that boot back.
Bringing that boot
that's
back.
That's what it is. One thing, too, I wanted to make sure I mentioned is 2 weeks in a row, which is great.
Oh, my gosh.
Didn't quit.
Oh, okay. I thought you were completely changing gears on me. But never mind.
What'd you think I was going to do?
I thought you were going to bring up your pick-ems again.
Oh, that's coming, too.
Okay. But yeah,
we're not going to mention I'm 9-0 until later. But we didn't quit. We absolutely did not. We scored a touchdown towards the end of the game.
We got guys that have bought in, and they understand.
I will give some Twitter folks that props. I did see, unfortunately, the ratio was definitely more hate than good, but there was a decent amount of, you know, players didn't quit. They kept grinding. I'm not sure if she – I don't think she's part of that Hoggett deal, so I'm not going to mention her name. But she was talking about how she saw a kid throwing up on the sideline and 2 plays later making a play and stuff like that. So that is going to go a long ways too.
It's a different deal when you throw up. It happens in football games often. But
we got a front row seat of that Friday night at the high school game.
Ozark Boomboo game. It's like a shot
shout
of adrenaline
out Ozark
a little
HPRD.
Bit. After you swash it out with some poorly mixed Gatorade, that's typically the high school side of things. I'm not taking a shot at the equipment managers at the U of A.
Hey, when I was in school, those girls had it down.
They had it down? Yeah, they had that good flavor. Good. Huh?
Yeah, so, we did.
But, you know, after you get that all washed out, you're ready to get right back at it. It's weird. I was just whining about Twitter and everything. And, well...
Twitter dirt.
This is like instant because I haven't looked at it all day, and I opened it up while we were recording. And I guess on this is the Hit That Line Twitter handle. I don't know who Lisa in Northeast Arkansas is, but she is apparently not gonna go to another game this season. I'm done. We knew this would happen, but. Also want to give a shout-out to the Hoggets because they are eating them apart on the replies.
Are they tearing them up? that's why we love the Hoggets.
Yeah, Kelly here.
They're there when we can't be.
Yeah, Kelly here said, Lisa is the most annoying caller I've ever heard on your show. I hope she keeps her word and doesn't go to any more games. Go ahead and find a new team to cheer for and learn what the hell you are talking about while you're at it, Lisa. Lisa. There's like, that's a Linda right there.
That's close to Karen.
Yeah, Karen. Listen, Karen.
That's close to Karen.
Listen. But, oh, man.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't have any Twitter dirt because it's the same as it was last week, and we've talked about it enough. You just hit some of it on the head right there, so.
It's just going to sound way too
We're going to get more creative with our Twitter dirt. I do have a burning you up, but the Twitter dirt is just... Like, we could have taken a couple, called out a couple fans straight out, more than a couple.
Yeah. We're not going to take that route too many.
We could have done the refs. We're holding out. Yeah. We're pacing ourselves. It's a long season.
It's a long season, that's for sure. What if I told you Portland State, I feel like that. Is that the start of ESPN 30 for 30? What if I told
that
you?
That is.
Yeah, okay. Anyway. Portland State, we had 6 punts, so I have a soft spot for the brand.
Yes, you do.
And Portland State, we had 6 punts. And against Ole Miss, we had 6 punts. 4 punts against Ole Miss were in the first half.
Does that I feel like you should have brought that up at the beginning of the show. I feel like that's starkle.
Yeah. I mean, right. I don't think the, producer Luther is telling me that I said Portland State. I meant to say Portugal State. So we're going to keep that going, God. Apparently.
Yeah, he found you.
Yep, got me out on that one. But I don't feel like I need to sell anybody anymore on Starkle. Although going into the season, I definitely felt like that's the position that we were taking on this, like,
It was
heating up near the, as the season
by the time
was going
the Beanie Bowl started, everybody was expecting Starkle.
Right, and it was one of those deals where it's like, where's this coming from?
This is the thing, though. If we had an actual radio show where we had to slot out,
we'd be getting destroyed.
3 to 4 hours of content, we would be circling back around to the quarterback stuff once every hour because it's that big of a deal. It made that much of a difference. It was that obvious. It was right there in front of you. There was only one touchdown pass thrown.
I mean, a lot of the systems that you're seeing. So you've got guys in the pros that are getting their coaches hired because they're going off. Patrick Mahomes getting Cliff Kingsbury hired. Like, Cliff Kingsbury should be giving Patrick Mahomes money because he's the head coach at Arizona. We probably have Lincoln Riley rumors out the wazoo every year now for the foreseeable future.
The most recent one is he's going to Dallas.
Yeah, so as long as Kyler Murray does half as what Patrick Mahomes did, like, the thing about those guys are they're just gamers. Like, the stuff that they're doing isn't scripted.
Intangibles are great. Mechanics are great. Good throwing motion's great, but there is a lot to be said for a gamer.
Yep.
There is a lot to be said. Again, I keep talking that kid up, Alexander or whatever, from Portugal State, but that game would not have been as close if he wasn't their quarterback, and that kid was a gamer. Starkle, been there, done that. He's been in the crap. I'm not going to make Luke bleep anything else out the rest of the show, Scout's Honor. But he's been there, and it matters. I mean, that experience matters.
Yeah. But what I was saying was that the tools that they have, and especially after plays break down or just having the arm strength or having the arm talent, is proving to be more reliable. Because, I mean, no coach is going to go out there and call a play and then be like, oh, and after you're done with your second read, I want you to throw a no-look pass to your wide receiver. Now,
right.
that just kind of comes with it. Like,
right.
And in terms of knowing the playbook and all that kind of stuff, that is absolutely great, and it has a play. But ultimately, it comes down to, can he make the throws? And it's night and day difference. Nick Starkel can make every throw on that football field for the most part.
Yep.
And everything else will come. We still have 2 years with him now. I mean, Nick Starkel's got to be the guy. It's just, I just do not want to see this fan base and see what happens if we unfortunately see Ben Hicks again. And it's not.
Is it bad that I dread that more than I do dreading possibly hearing that Hicks is starting?
Right.
I dread the fan base more. We got any more Razorback recap?
No. What do you? What you're hit into something?
Hit me with the sizzle.
Hit you with the sizzle. Okay.
Yeah.
Burning you up.
I have never been a Patriots fan.
Okay. Oh man.
Ever.
Oh, are we closing this one? I feel like we were going to continue this anyway. So.
You're burning you up last week was a one Antonio Brown.
Yep.
And I laid off for a little bit. And after that recording, that next day, it was just rapid fire Bleacher Report, Twitter just blowing up with all the shenanigans.
We thought the saga was slowing down at that point.
Yeah,
when I was doing
right.
it. I was like, okay, this is a good spot. I can kind of just air it out now that we're going to have some football come in. He can go play Oakland. But
they let go of him because they needed to. And then the New England Patriots picked that sorry POS up.
Good job.
So that's a precedent set. I can whine my ass off, gripe and complain, cause absolute havoc within an organization, get out, and then just go get picked up by a team that's more than likely going to the Super Bowl because it's the Patriots. He doesn't deserve it. He does not deserve it. What real world job could you have pulled that kind of crap and gotten a job the same day you got let go from one?
I don't know. Especially after what was it, 22 missed practices? So,
and then some racial slurs thrown towards the GM and cussing, trying to beat people up, and
this analogy would be your boss.
Yeah.
Which in
exactly.
real life is his boss.
Right.
It
absolute garbage.
I really was hoping that I'd wouldn't have to touch too much on it because I thought it was a good spot in the last week, but it definitely continued. And
it just escalated night.
I figured it would come on this episode. So, yeah. So this saga starts when he walks out last year at the, was it the last game or even before that? Last game for the Steelers. He just walks out. And they trade him to the Bills? For a second, like before that was even out, and he didn't like that. So he got his way and got to Oakland, essentially. And the conspiracy, the tinfoil hats that are out for all this. And
saying he wanted his money and just leave.
And the fact that like it involves the Patriots, so we're going to probably add a gate behind this. So I have to ask you, is it just Antonio Brown gate? Is it tamper gate? Is it
at this point it's
frostbite?
Just the Belichick gate.
Is
right?
it frostbite gate? Is it helmet gate? Because
helmet gate. I mean, if we had to pick, I'm going with that one.
Because I mean,
they got so far down.
All of these things, all of this stuff, according to the tinfoil hat wearers, Bill Belichick is sitting there with his evil hoodie on, and he was pulling all the strings.
To those people's credit, though. That Patriot stuff started the night that we recorded.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a good 48 hours before it actually happened.
Well, it's because the Patriots do this. I mean, they have Josh Gordon catching touchdowns right now. I mean,
yeah, I should have started him.
So, I mean, his touchdown celebration is rolling a joint, for heaven's sakes. So, you've got Josh Brown on that team. They picked up Randy Moss, who people thought were, you know.
No, he looks like an angel compared to what Antonio Brown's pulled. Yeah, exactly. Pulled.
So, like, it was one of those deals where at that time when they brought Randy Moss in, it's like, oh, well, they can control these guys. And it's like, they don't really control them. They just hide it.
Like, yeah, exactly. I mean, they keep stuff in-house pretty well.
Yeah.
Minus the whole, you know, the first gate.
Called. Well, at this point, I mean, is it, I think the first gate is Spygate, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That one leaked out. But that was
That's because it, you know, they were still using tapes back then. That's essentially a paper.
You got drones now, right?
Yeah. Drones, digital track, like, come on. I can hide that in an email server, right? Oh.
Yeah. Oh, man. Hell yeah. But that's mine.
I'll just real touch because I thought this was interesting and I didn't have a spot to put this in, so it's almost because it's, like, legitimate, but the Baylor starting temp, so they play on artificial turf, and they had an on-field temp of the artificial turf, they've got the pellets and all that good stuff, of 167 degrees. So, pun fully intended, those guys were burning me up.
Burning you up.
Oh, I had to. But I didn't know where I was going to put that in.
Hey, that worked.
It was a good spot, but
I'm done, man. We just got a maybe the JRD Twitter handle will send out some inspirational stuff this week.
You need some clip arts for you today or something. Kuna Matata
or something.
Well, on to Colorado State. It's a new day.
It's redemption week.
Game week, always. So for JRD Hawkcast, I'm Dylan Lee.
Jordan Russell.
Shout out to Luke Griggs, the producer. Got some bleeping to do thanks to Jordan Russell, but that's nothing new for him.
Nope.
Hit us up at JRD Hogcast. Go to our website, jrdhogcast.com. Merch, all that good stuff. We are self-funded, getting the content to you as soon as you hit that download button. Till next time, woo pig soup.
Game day comes around, you'll see a little pride on my face. Cheering.